see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way. It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. WGN.
And a happy Thanksgiving and a good morning to you out there in Radioland, 720 WGN. John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Nick DiGilio. Well, you're not really filling in.
I switch seats.
Yeah, you just switch seats.
I just hopped over and I don't have to do traffic.
Yeah,
although I did open up my little traffic sheet.
Really?
My little cheat sheet thing. I don't need that today.
Where do you normally sit for traffic? Are you normally
I sit in traffic hut.
Okay, you're in traffic hut.
As Nick calls it, the traffic hut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now you're down here. We're down in the showcase studio today. I thought maybe one of the reasons I wanted to be down here was
to see the crazies.
Yeah. And I don't see any crazies.
There might be. I saw some earlier.
Yeah.
I think they're still. Oh, no. Never mind.
I just thought with Blackout Wednesday, as people.
There's a few 3 a.m.s, 4 a.m.s. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, they don't. They're all 2 a.m. So.
Yeah.
They might be showing up soon.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll 2:11, so I feel like they're lingering around the door of the bar still.
Right. They're still getting kicked out.
Yeah, they just got kicked out, and they're still trying to like chat it up and figure it out, smoking a cigarette.
Right, right.
And then they'll start wandering this way.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them. Were you ever a participator in the night before Thanksgiving festivities?
You know, I always went home for it, and I didn't have a vehicle, so I couldn't go anywhere.
Oh, okay. Right, so you were stuck.
I was stuck at. I'm always stuck just in my parents' house.
Right, right.
I can't really go anywhere.
Right,
My parents all have stick shifts,
mm-hmm.
stick shift cars.
Right.
I don't drive stick shift. So,
you were really stuck.
Yeah.
And this is before Uber. So I don't know. Is this a new thing? I looked at the Wikipedia entry for Blackout Wednesday. Because why not? I was just kind of curious about it.
I'm amazed it is a Wikipedia page.
Well, it's something I've always known about. I mean, I'm in my young 30s, and when we'd come home from college, I knew that was a big thing because you're home and it was
right.
The first time. And then I know the first few years when I was a working professional, we would do stuff because it was, you know, everyone had the day off.
Yeah.
Now working in this business, it's never we were usually working on this morning, on Thursday morning. But kind of curious out there. I don't really know when it started. I don't know who.
I don't know either. I mean, I went out before this,
mm-hmm.
just to hang out a little bit, and there was people everywhere, and I hated it.
Yeah, you're not a fan of people.
I don't like people that much.
But the Wikipedia entry actually said it's a big thing in the Chicago suburbs, like that.
That makes sense.
Because I do remember going to Naperville when we used to do that. Naperthrill for a Wednesday night out.
Does that mean it originated in the Chicago suburbs?
I don't know. If anyone knows the history of Blackout Wednesday.
Who's a Blackout Wednesday historian?
Yes. What could we have booked that on the show?
I would think you're up.
Or
right now.
Or Drinksgiving, it's also called,
really?
I guess. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Although I just assumed that was just drinking on Thanksgiving, but that's its own thing.
Yeah, that's, I mean. Yeah.
312-981-7200 if you'd like to give us a call or send us a text if you partake in any of that. Maybe you're wrapping something up. But I also really want to hear from, because we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. Obviously, it's Thanksgiving. We'll talk about traditions, things you do, maybe touch on the fact that Target's opening in like 12 hours or something like that, which is crazy.
So wait, real quick, pro or con?
Pro or con what? The whole thing?
The whole Black Friday.
I don't know. I get it. Like, these businesses, if one of their competitors is going to do it and they make all their money on these days, I get why they all open up. I more blame ourselves that we have the need to go shopping on these days.
Okay. I was going to say, because I'm con, so then we can duke it out.
I'm
but
con,
you're kind
I'm
of
con
like
to the whole thing. I think that as we're crazy consumers buying all this stuff on Thanksgiving, the Friday thing never bothered me so much. So if you want to, you know, you have the day off, you want to get up early and go shopping, fine.
No.
It does bother me that Thursday night people are, you know, wasting time or leaving their families. But, hey, that's their choice. Just because the stores are open. If no one went into the stores, they would not open. There's clearly a demand for people going in and doing this.
Okay.
I do
we'll
feel
have to
bad.
Talk
for,
about this.
Okay. We'll have to dive on in. Also, I want to hear, I guarantee, maybe it's in Far Out Sandwich or somewhere, there's a woman out there that is cooking, or a man, or they're doing it together. That sounded really gross and dirty. I meant they're cooking together. 312-91. Well,
cooking,
you know what?
Food if you're, together.
You can call us either way. You can, if you want to call us during that, that's fine too. But no, if you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner.
No, I don't. We don't need to take those calls.
That would be something. That'd be an interesting call.
Sure.
To get live. 312-981-7200. We want to hear from you. I know that there's a lot of people maybe prepping their first Thanksgiving meal ever to host for maybe their first time they've owned their home or whatever it is. Or if it's your 50th and this is old hat to you and you've got some tricks of the trade you want to share. Because I love to hear what people are eating. I don't even love all the food of Thanksgiving, but I do love that people get so into it.
Yeah, and people have a family recipe of this, and we do this every year. And
right.
Some people do, you know, very different things. If you're from a different country or something, you meld the Thanksgiving with stuff from your country.
Right.
I'm also real curious, because when you listen or watch old-timey shows, they're always like, we woke up at 5 a.m. to cook the turkey. I'm like, what are you doing?
People do that, though.
Because I'm real curious. Like, what does that involve?
I
who's up right now
that's what
prepping
I'm saying.
That turkey to stick it in the oven at 5 a.m.? I want to know. What time do you eat?
I can guarantee people are getting up, getting ready, and cooking their Thanksgiving meal right now.
I don't, unless you're making for a army of 30.
Right. And we could also talk about that, too, about what time you eat. I know you had an article, because that's a whole big thing, too. Are you people that are eating at 11 a.m., which is crazy, or a little bit later? So we want to hear about your tradition. I want to welcome everyone into the conversation. I'm just so curious about what you're cooking tonight and how excited you are about that. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to 720 WGN. This is Mellencamp on this Thursday morning. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving,
Yay,
Esmeralda.
Happy Thanksgiving.
It's nice to hang out with you. I was really excited. Yeah. We've actually known about this date for a long time, our little date today, filling in for Nick DiGiulio. And,
does anyone say it Merry Thanksgiving?
Nope. I don't think so. I think it's just Happy Thanksgiving, right?
A few days before, I was thinking, because I was telling people that I wasn't going to see Happy Thanksgiving. They went, is that correct?
You just couldn't quite figure it out.
It's like, that doesn't sound,
because there's a war on Christmas now, and it's Merry Holidays, Happy Holidays. No, it's
Merry,
happy, and whatever it
have
is.
Have a good one.
Right. I don't really actually think there's a war on Christmas, but that's just, you know, what people think. Lisa, so we want to hear from people. We want to hear, if you're up cooking right now, please call in. Take a break. Put the cranberries wherever you put cranberries. Put the yams wherever they go. Put the turkey down for a second. Stop basting. We want to hear from you and what you're doing. And Lisa, it says that you've been prepping all day. Does that mean you've been prepping since midnight, or you were prepping Wednesday and you just haven't stopped?
I have been prepping since Wednesday and just haven't stopped.
Oh, my gosh. How many people are you feeding?
About 30.
Oh, my gosh.
So she is feeding an army of 30. Wow.
Lisa, why do you do that? Well, you should just cater.
Oh, no. Thanksgiving is by far my favorite holiday. I've been doing it now. I've been married for 20 years, so I've been doing it for 20 years. I can do this without a shopping list, without a recipe, nothing. I can do it. It's just rote for me, but prepping on Wednesday is everything. You know, I get all my celery and my onion diced and sauteed, ready to get, you know, put into the dressing first thing in the morning.
Things of celery do you use?
Yeah, how many stalks of celery have you cut?
Three huge bunches of celery I've gone through. And then another one that, you know, I started my stock today to make the gravy for tomorrow. I made my cranberries. I make homemade cranberry sauce. I made that today. What else did I do? I roasted acorn squash. I split them in half. And then I roast them, and then tomorrow morning, or tomorrow before we eat, I'll throw them under the broiler just to get them a nice caramelization on the top. And I do the same thing with asparagus. I cook the asparagus in the oven with a little olive oil and
that sounds good.
Can we come over?
Red pepper. Absolutely.
Can we do a 32, please? Yeah. Lisa,
absolutely.
Did it start small and you just got so good at it that more and more people came over and now it's 32, or has the family grown? How have you evolved into Lisa is Thanksgiving?
You know, the only thing that's grown is the fact that I had three children and my sister-in-law had a child. But other than that, I just have a large family. And, you know, just, you know, my parents are divorced, so, and everybody gets along, so I have everybody, you know,
that's sweet.
And all that other stuff. It really is. It really is. And then my in-laws are always with us because our families all get along real well. So I actually do all the holidays. There is not a holiday I don't do, but Thanksgiving is by far my favorite. And it's just, it's a blessing. And my first child went away to college this year, so I have him home this week.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Oh, yeah, it really is.
I got to say, your college son, back for the first time, even if he's not showing it, although I'm sure he is probably excited too.
He is the one. I have three children, so I've got another one going off to college next year, and then 2 years later, another one. But he is the child that every mother loves to cook for. He doesn't eat fast food. He doesn't eat junk food. He likes home-cooked food. And so it's just a pleasure to cook for this kid because he enjoys every single bite of it.
Yeah, does anyone bring anything with, or do you just tell everyone, no, don't?
Not for Thanksgiving. I'll let them, you know, bring something like an appetizer if they feel they need to do something. But Thanksgiving's mine, and it's just, I peeled 20 pounds of potatoes today, you know? I mean, it's
my thing.
It's just very therapeutic for me. I crank the tunes up loud as can be in the kitchen, and I'm dancing around.
How fun!
It's just my thing. You know, my youngest son will kind of do some prep work. He'll help me peel potatoes sometimes.
Right.
And, you know, but I make the kids clean while I'm cooking.
Oh, good, good.
That's key.
Absolutely.
And cooking's more fun anyways. Yeah.
Yeah, baseboards are washed, floors are scrubbed, toilets. I mean, everything, you know, cabinets washed down. I make them all do that while I'm cooking.
Can we do none of that? Can we just come over and eat and leave?
Right.
Well, we'll converse, too, and drink. Yeah.
I'm telling you, you so can.
Right.
If you're working, are you guys on tomorrow night?
We are on tomorrow night.
I will bring you food tomorrow. I cook 2 26-pound turkeys.
Oh, my gosh.
Man.
Well, Patty Vasquez is bringing in a bunch of food, too.
Yeah, she's bringing a feast.
True. Yeah, we don't want to upstage her because, you know, that's her thing, too, here. So,
but my big thing also is that the worst thing about not having Thanksgiving is not having leftovers. So that's the other reason why I cook so much.
Right.
Because I want people to go home with at least a full meal for the next day.
Yeah. FYI, God, you really do it. Go ahead.
Lisa, a text came in from the 630 said, "This woman is perfect. Can I get her number in case she gets divorced in the future?"
Oh.
So look at that. You already got some prospects.
We're matchmaking. This is great. Yeah. Or just tell your husband that just to let him know there's some competition out there.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. So he does this. I do my beautiful bird in the oven. And then he does the other one that's in the smoker. And the only reason why I'm up this late is because Goofball forgot to, you know, they've been defrosting, and he threw them in the brine, except it was still a little icy on the inside. So I'm waiting for this puppy to, you know, finish thawing out. It's just about there, but I just needed to make sure. So it's sitting in a nice cool bath right now in my kitchen.
And what's your husband doing? Is he sleeping?
Actually, no, he's out with his high school friends right now. And it's, but you know what? I don't clean. I don't clean.
True, true.
No. I mean, afterwards, like once I put the meal on the table, I'm done.
Open a bottle of wine and kick your feet up.
And he takes care of all the dishes and the packaging of food and everything.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
Oh, he packs it? You're like a restaurant.
Yeah, look at that. Exactly. Everyone gets to go. Good things. Yeah.
I do. I buy little containers for people to take their stuff, and my mother-in-law comes with, you know, little, you know, old gold containers to put something in for herself, you know. Yeah, it's great.
You were like the perfect first caller, but I think you've set the bar too high for everyone else. So what time do you actually serve all this stuff at?
So we will eat, ideally, at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, that's a good time.
Which is a perfect time, I think, you know, because people don't have to come too early. I don't let my mother show up at my house before 1 o'clock. Absolutely not. I love her to death, but she comes in and just tears apart the place.
All right.
So, you know, you're prepping and you're cooking on your island, and then she sets like bags down in the middle of it, which is disgusting. So I don't let her come before one. But, you know, that way everybody can just kind of come, do, and then go if they need to go, or stay if they want to stay and have, you know, turkey comas and, you know,
oh my gosh.
It is what it is. But you guys are so awesome. I was so glad to hear you guys are on the air tonight.
Oh, that's very sweet.
You two are here.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. And we got to take a break, but thank you so much for calling in. That was just like the perfect warm Thanksgiving, and have a great Thanksgiving with your family. And if you're not too much in a coma, just tune us in tomorrow night and call on in and let us know how it goes, okay?
I absolutely will. Have a wonderful holiday with your families tomorrow.
Thank you, Lisa. Oh, Lisa's so sweet. I do kind of want to go over there.
Right?
We're going to talk about your family next and what happens there. Richard's, we got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to get to Richard after the news. He says he's up carving something for his wife, and I want to know what the details of that are.
A little frightening, but we'll find out.
We'll have Richard and more coming up on 720 WGN. Seven twenty WGN. John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon in for Nick DiChilli. Are you okay there?
I think I swallowed some spit. And all right, that's terrific.
Oh, starting your Thanksgiving feast early,
right,
are you?
Folks.
With a nice. There we are. We're talking about Thanksgiving, of course, and a happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope you are home wherever you might be. If you were traveling, you're back home, or I hope you're. Maybe you just had a blackout Wednesday and you're not going to remember this tomorrow. I don't really care. I just hope you're happy. I think we've had such a roller coaster year. The top of the ride was the Cubs winning the World Series. And maybe your political views and the election was great for you, and that's fine. That's your own thing. And that's fine. But no matter what your political preferences were, we can all admit it was a crazy year. And it's just nice to all remember what this stuff is all about. Friends and
eating
family
food.
And eating food. Exactly. Eating a DiGiorno 6 hours ago and feeling completely full. Okay, so please call in. We want to know if you're cooking. Are you cooking right now? Are you getting prepared? Did you prepare a ton yesterday? What's your feast like? I mean, Lisa teed it up.
She set the bar real high. So whoever calls has to
beat
that.
Although I want to hear from people that are like, you know, screw it.
The regular people.
I went and I got carry out. I did this. Yeah. I go to White Castle and got the turkey sliders.
I want to actually know about people who go out.
Yeah. Where are you going?
That always, it's not like weird or anything, but I'm just curious, like, where do you guys go?
Right.
Do you do the Thanksgiving meal? Or is it just
we go somewhere else
and we eat that?
Right. So Lisa kind of set up what I think the American dream of Thanksgiving, we pictured is.
Her sounds like a well-oiled machine.
It certainly does. Oh, and by the way, we should let her know that we had a 630 asking that if she ever gets divorced, that the woman is perfect. And what was her response?
Her response was that if they have Blackhawk season tickets, she could be persuaded to toss her husband.
Especially since her husband messed up cooking the turkey now, the second turkey.
She did say just kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, sort of.
So exactly.
There's a chance.
All right, Richard. I know, Richard, you've been holding on the line very long, and we appreciate that. You said you're up carving something for your wife early this morning. Richard, what's going on?
Well, I'm an artist, and I have been for the past 55 years of my married life. And every holiday, I go out and buy some expensive paper, and I make a special holiday card for my wife.
Oh. You know,
happy Mother's Day or happy Merry Christmas or whatever. Well, Thanksgiving is a holiday. And I was in the store, and I saw, when I was looking at the paper, I thought maybe some wood burning would be nice. So I bought a piece of wood. And I made her a Happy Thanksgiving Day card out of a piece of wood,
which
she can hang it. And she's been sleeping, cooking, and when she went to bed, I worked on this, and I spent about 4 or 5 hours on it. But it'll be the first time I've ever made her a card out of a piece of wood, I'll tell you that.
That is so sweet, Richard. So you've done that for 55 years.
I like it. It's beautiful. It's a little scene of New England, and there's a hymn. She has a favorite hymn, and it has to do with Thanksgiving. And I used that verse from that hymn and put that just above the scene and did it with a wood-burning set. And I've never done that before. I thought, out of the 55 years we've been married, I thought that was something unusual, and she'd like it.
When people talk about the secrets to long marriages, it's spontaneity, but also just like that you thought to do something like this for your wife. That's so, and she just must absolutely adore it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, she's a very appreciative person. She waxes eloquent over things like that. And I do it just because it's a tradition. I mean, she'd be chagrined if I didn't do it these days after all these years.
And now the expectations are there, Richard.
Well, sure.
Now, what's going to be next year? Now you're going to have to go out and, like, find some, you're going to have to weld something together. I mean, it's just going to have to get more elaborate now.
I've made her paintings. I've done something on the wall. I've given her cards when we were in the airplane going somewhere in the car. We celebrate our holidays in an unusual way, but they always come with a handmade card for me because being an artist, it's easy for me to do, and I enjoy it. It's something a little different from sitting in front of an easel all day,
right,
which
right.
is normally what I do.
So, Richard, my grandfather was a watercolor painter. And my
really?
Mother is an artist, and she was an art teacher also for 30-some years. And I'm going to have to tell my mom about this because she doesn't do anything like this for my dad.
Well, if she does watercolor, she'll know what it's like to work on a different support.
Yeah.
If you're working on a piece of wood, it's kind of unusual. I've never done it before, but, you know, it all comes out. Your hand goes where your eye tells it to go. And you make a card or
right.
scene or whatever you have for the celebration of the holiday.
That's funny you mentioned that because my mom, she had to learn ceramics, obviously, to teach it to kids. And she thought she was terrible at it, and she still does. But when I look at the ceramic stuff she does, it's, like, incredible because she just has that artist eye. And even if it's not the form that she's known to use it, artists seem to figure it out. So, Richard, what are you guys doing? What was she cooking? What time's dinner? Are you guys having family in, or is it just you two?
Yeah, our daughter will be there, and her husband and other people will be there. But it's going to be the typical turkey and cranberries. I stay out of the kitchen, though. It's better for me not to be. It's better for me sitting in front of an easel or at my desk. Well, I took the card and I put it on her desk, which is right near the kitchen. So amongst the aromas of the food will be this card she'll see. So you have to do the synesthetic thing where there's a mix of sensations, you know.
Right.
And so they run from the eye to the nose to you know what.
Richard, you need to, you should, while Thanksgiving's going on, just paint like Freedom from Want, the old Norman Rockwell painting. Just paint one of those while it's going on.
I think one of the most magnificent paintings in the world, even though people call him an illustrator, is that Thanksgiving Day piece he did for Saturday Evening Post where the papa of the family is mm-hmm. standing up, getting ready to carve the turkey,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's seated around the table, anxious to eat. I suppose that's the way it'll be here today.
You should do that painting, but with all your faces.
Yeah. Yeah, we're giving you the next assignment, Richard.
Well,
you're going to regret calling in.
Right.
Those genre pictures are not hard to do.
Right.
But to get the spirit of the art is another story.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can paint a guy standing up ready to feed his family. But to get that special spiritual quality that comes through and being a total artist as a result of years and years of living and having to... You know, having a family around you, that's the real key to good art. It's carrying the message farther than just the picture.
Well, it sounds like you have that inspiration, so I think you're good.
Yeah. Richard, I think you've got the inspiration, and you certainly have the love, and I'm sure your wife will appreciate the wood carving card. How
oh
cute.
God.
I was, Richard, I was so worried. I'm like, you're right. Here we are as Merrill
tonight.
I feel
like a schmuck.
Yeah, no, what am I doing with my relationship?
Right?
I need to get going on this thing. Richard, have go ahead.
I'm an art historian, and so I enjoy knowing what I'm doing about the image that I'm making. So it's kind of special to do it on holidays.
Mm-hmm. Well, Richard, you enjoy your holiday, and a happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you so much for calling and sharing that with us. Chris has been on the line for a while, but we're going to take a quick commercial break here on 720. Chris, hang on, and we're going to have more Thanksgiving stuff. Please call in with your stories. What are you doing today? 312-981-7200. You're listening to 720 WGN.
Yeah.
720 WGN. John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Nick DiGilio. Well, it's weird saying you're filling in because you're Nick Psychic already.
Yeah, but I do traffic.
Right.
His own dude.
I know, but you're always chiming in.
We're the team.
Right.
We're in the Nick D team.
Right. And now Roger's doing traffic again for you tonight. So
Roger is me today.
And I find it weird, and it's Julie Gray doing news, and she's doing fantastic. I know Roger's up there somewhere. Usually I can see Roger,
right.
And it's so weird that I can't see him right now.
Well, we're tag teaming things.
Right. Everyone's
in news today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're doing
everyone's helping out.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to hear your Thanksgiving stories. I want to know if people are up cooking. Or I also want to know for the people that are like, forget that, I'm not cooking this year.
Right.
I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm not having my family, I don't care. We've already had like the quintessential like American Norman Rockwell painting.
Yeah.
Lisa called cooking
people.
For 30 people. She does all the work. It's amazing. Family comes in. We've heard from Richard, who is carving wood carvings for his wife.
We've heard the most amazing. So they make, I just feel like a big loser.
I know. But I think there's a lot of people out there that don't take this holiday as seriously as others do.
Yeah.
Or maybe don't want to. I don't know if Chris is, I don't know what camp Chris is in. Cramp or what camp? Chris, are you a big Thanksgiving guy? You got some challenges with some ingredients, right?
Well, this story falls so short of everybody else's already.
We're feeling the same way, Chris.
All our stories do.
We're all feeling that. So why don't you bring us back down to earth, Chris?
What we do is the day before Thanksgiving, we go to my sister's, and I have three nieces. My sister and I do the cooking, and we have the staples every year, potatoes, sweet potatoes, and all this other. Well, I came up with an idea that we put all those ingredients in a hat. Everybody pulls one out. And you have to make it different every year.
Oh, that's cool.
That's great.
So what are some examples that you guys have had in the past?
Mashed potatoes. The next year was roasted potatoes.
Okay.
The year after that was baked potatoes.
Does the person have the same ingredient each year? Or do they change it? You all pick out of the hat earlier, the week before or something?
The day before, we all just pick it out. So when we come over to start cooking on Thanksgiving, you got to have your idea ready.
Oh, that's.
Do you guys judge?
Not out loud.
So, Chris.
I mean, there's been some, my sister can't have corn syrup, so we make homemade cranberries. But I do it every year with something different. Like one year was orange juice, one year was apple juice.
What's the wackiest thing you guys have come up with?
Oh, my niece made this hideous dish. I can't remember what it was, but it was hideous.
Do you remember what the key ingredient was?
You can't even remember the ingredient. It was so hideous.
You just blocked it out.
Like a turnip or something. It was just gross.
Oh, boy.
But hey.
Yeah,
we'll
take that off the list. We're not going to have that every year.
It's not in the hat. All of a sudden, she's like, where's the turnip? No turnip this year.
There's so many ways you can do it. So we'll just pass on that.
So do you guys.
But it makes it different.
Yeah, it makes it different. And do you all cook? You said that when you come to cook, so do you all cook in the kitchen at the same time? How does that work?
Yeah, we're all together, bumping into each other and. Yeah.
See, that's
a big mess. And
that's really cute, too, because so many people do it where, and Brett's family does it where Brett's mom cooks and does it all and insists that we all stay out of the kitchen, we all watch football, whatever it is.
I'm like that.
And some people are like that, but I think that's really cool, Chris, that it's a team thing. You guys are doing it together.
Yeah, we all joke around, and it's like, you really want to do that? And it's like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's my recipe. I got this. You know, and my nieces talk smack, and it's really fun.
It sounds like a cooking reality show playing out live in your kitchen.
Yeah, it's like every year there's something always different. It's the same ingredients, but everything is always made different.
What, except for the turnip, that one's gone. But
that's gone.
What do you have this year?
I got to do something with green beans.
Okay.
A green bean casserole, so I'm thinking about maybe steaming green beans with slivered almonds.
Ooh. Can you mix it with mac and cheese? I'm trying to get mac and cheese into everybody's Thanksgiving meal, and no one's buying this with me.
How about an entire turkey stuffed with mac and cheese?
That works for me, but he's got.
Then stuff it with green beans.
And then stuff it with green beans, just so you fulfilled your obligation.
Well, you got to garnish it with the green beans to have it, the color.
You do got to garnish it, exactly. Just shave green beans.
Does that count? If you were to make some and then you just garnish it with whatever they gave you?
Oh, no, no. You got to do something. You got to put effort into it. You got to think.
All right. Well, keep on listening. If you've got an idea for a green bean recipe and you can help Chris on out, we'd love to hear that. Chris, thank you so much for the call. I don't think that brought us down at all.
No.
I think that's a really fun idea with everyone doing something different. That's so cool.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And happy Thanksgiving to you and the crew.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Chris. So that brings us to the next thing
I feel like a schmuck. Right. Still. So good job.
Are you bringing anything? So let's open this up.
Yeah.
You are going to Joliet today. Family of four, your brother.
Yes.
And talk us through your Thanksgiving tradition.
Yeah, we don't really have much family and other than the immediates.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we do have some cousins and uncles and things and they show up without saying anything. Which is great.
Do they expect food?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's Thanksgiving, right? There's going to be food. Mm-hmm. I had that one year my parents went on vacation, and it was just me and my brother. And I came home because I was like, I'll make dinner for us, too, for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We'll do it that way. And then my cousin just shows up out of nowhere and critiques my mashed potatoes.
Really?
I was like, cool, guy. Cool.
I could see the tension rising in your family already.
That's what I got to deal with.
And this is why this is not the best your favorite day of all time.
Yeah, it's a favorite, but as I was telling you earlier, we just bicker over everything. It does not matter what day it is. It's holidays. It's a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know,
no matter
Sunday
what it
afternoon.
Is.
We bicker about everything. We're very controlling people and mm-hmm. stubborn. So when it comes to baking things, I want to make. You know, for Thanksgiving, they're not big turkey people.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they insist on buying a turkey. And it's like, why would you do that?
I know.
Let's eat something else.
It's the Thanksgiving thing, though.
Right?
You know?
They're very much into that. They're like, well, everyone eats turkey. I'm like, but you don't like it.
And you don't have to.
Exactly.
So we're going to get into your family more later because I also want to open this up to – we're hearing all these great stories about Thanksgiving,
right?
But I know everyone's got – I don't want to say a horror story, but, you know, you've got some stories out there.
You've got something in there.
Exactly.
You want to let out.
Not
too bad, but, you know.
We have a 740 texting in. Jay from Ohio. Hey, Jay. Thanks for listening. Happy Thanksgiving at home. My brother from Texas is here, and all my siblings will be here. That's nice, especially when it can be something from everyone out of town. And it seems like, from all accounts, yesterday traveling was not some horrible thing. So,
right, but it was the busiest.
It was busy, but it wasn't... There wasn't any terrible weather systems. There weren't any terrible delays. It seems like...
At least here.
Everything, at least here. Everything in my world was fine.
We lucked out.
Okay, so Kathy, you're going to help Chris out immediately. Chris, I hope you're listening. Kathy's got a green bean idea. Kathy, what do you got?
Yeah, he suggested the silvered almonds, which is good. Add a little pimento for color. Mm-hmm. And add cream of chicken or cream of celery soup to it. And crush some potato chips. With a rolling pin?
Potato
the
chips.
Crunchy aspect.
Uh-huh. Like you would for a tuna casserole. But just make it for a green bean casserole.
Kathy, do you make a bunch of different things for Thanksgiving? Or have you practiced this before, or is this just something you make other times of the year?
No, I've done different things every year.
Are you cooking for today?
No, we're going out for dinner.
Okay, so
where are you going?
We're going to Nico's in Bridgeview.
Okay.
Okay. Is that are they doing a Thanksgiving meal? Do you know, or is it?
They do a Thanksgiving feast. They do the roast beef and the prime rib, and they do the fish and
turkey. See, I like that. I'll go prime rib.
But they never have. Last year they had omitted the cranberries. Everybody's asking for cranberries, and they said, "Oh, we forgot." I'm like, okay, I'm going home and get a can. You know,
whip some up for Nico's. Yeah, Kathy, is that something you do every year? You guys go out for the holiday, or has that been a newer tradition?
We have been because my cousins are all scattered at different parts of the state. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Kathy, thanks for offering the idea to Chris. We really appreciate that.
Okay. And I have a horror story for turkey.
Go ahead.
Gone to a relative's home, and they forgot to clean the turkey out.
Oh,
so they got this beautiful platter. They went to, what do they call that place? Tuesday morning, bought a turkey, nice turkey platter, nice gravy boat, nice special dish for the stuffing. And she wanted to present it like they do in a magazine put it on a turkey platter. Take out the stuffing and went in the cavity to get more stuffing, and out comes the bag with the dirty gizzards and blood. Okay, it was horrible.
Oh, so does that mean it's all bad? You can't eat a single thing, or can you still eat the outside of it?
I just ate the turkey. I didn't eat the stuffing at all. I don't know what the stuffing would be.
Yeah. Oh, God. That is a horror story.
Oh,
All right, we're starting to bring it down to
the night before.
We're starting to break down the family tradition of everyone gets together. We got someone going out in Bridgeview to Nico's. I like that. And Kathy, thank you so much for the call. And we got horror stories coming in. So I think that's where the 3 a.m. hour takes a turn.
Yeah, it gets scary.
Let's hear some of those other stories. Okay, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to 720 WGN. Are you doing the mashed potato there, Esmeralda? I think so. I think.
By the way, I like she says I'm going to teach it to you, but then she doesn't say how.
Yeah, nowadays the songs they like to teach you all the.
Yeah. Move. I think she does later.
Slide
but still.
To the left. It's like very they telestrate it for you.
Right.
She's going to teach. Well, maybe she was visually doing it, but we just can't.
Right.
Hear.
And maybe she says later.
Yeah.
But still, it's like halfway through the song, you're still like, I don't know how.
Stop promising to teach it to me if you're not going to. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Not Nick DiGilio. He is off. John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon, who you're all very familiar with.
I hope
these
so.
Are your peeps.
Yeah. These are my people.
These are your people. I'm just here filling in. 312-91. They're my temporary peeps. Usually because we're usually fill in on the weekends usually.
Right.
Or I do the noon business lunch a lot. So, but I don't know what the carryover is from business people listening. Maybe.
Oh, they're the Japanese market.
they're up. Yeah, they want to see how the Shanghai market's doing. So they're up really early today. Yeah,
there you go.
312-91-7200. We've had some incredible phone calls in the last hour from people about their Thanksgiving plans, ranging from I'm cooking for 30 people and it's incredible and it's the American dream to I'm going out in Bridgeview, which is also great.
Right.
To an artist carving a card for his wife of 55 years. I mean, making a sob in here. And it's really got us feeling a little...
I feel like a schmuck. I'm like, cool.
Right.
I'm not making for 30
I
ever.
Know. So,
and being happy about it.
So you mentioned that your family always ends up bickering at each other.
Right.
And maybe I'm just lucky that I have this intermediate family where we all, for the most part, get along really, really well. When you get extended, and it's not like we all don't get along, especially on my dad's side of the family, we all do have some different political views,
right.
And there's a little bit more booze flowing.
Yeah.
But there's never been, like, a fight. I can't remember ever, like, arguing with even my aunts and uncles who have different viewpoints of mine. I don't know why. We just don't do it. I don't know. It never happened. So I always thought that stuff just happened in sitcoms that people fought for holidays.
Although it's funny because the political stuff, we're all on the same side.
So there's nothing about that.
So there's none of that. It's more just we're stubborn about how things should be done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it should be done one way. And then my mom thinks another. Or she starts to try to help. And she was this way with me when I was a kid, too, because I would try to help and then, like, mess something. And she'd be like, just go do something.
Just go away, yeah.
And I do this. I'm so awful. I do the same thing to her sometimes because I'll be like, I'll know this recipe. And I'm like, I'm doing it or I'm reading it off a thing. And then she's like, well, let me do it. And I'm like, no, don't touch that.
But
I don't need it yet.
Aren't you going to her house?
Yeah.
So shouldn't she just do whatever she wants to do and you butt out?
No. Because I know better.
Well, I thought maybe it was your family's problem, but I'm starting to believe that you are you're getting your fingers in
this
too much.
I read a lot of America's Test Kitchen, and I watch Alton Brown, and they tell me how to do things, like make the turkey, or how to make certain cuts of meat and this and that. So then I go there, and I'm like, we're gonna do this.
The key thing there is you said, but we go there. If you're hosting
there.
Thanksgiving,
no.
Then you can
she
have
would
me
still,
with those
they
rules.
Would still get in there. My mom would still get in there and be like, what can I do? Let me do this.
Right.
Or let me. She's a big clean freak.
Okay.
She comes to my house and she always offers to clean my house. I'm like, Ma, no.
Really?
You wouldn't take her up
on that?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's my dirty house.
No, I would
leave
absolutely take that up.
You know.
I'm going to be bringing laundry home today.
Yeah. No, she always asked if I want to wash the clothes I brought.
Like,
and I'm like,
that
Ma,
are on you?
The ones that I brought like to change into.
Okay.
And I'm like,
okay.
Ma, they're clean.
Yeah.
Trust me. I do these things at home.
Mm-hmm,
she gets it's a thing of two. She just wants to take care of
right.
And all that. But still.
And you don't let your mom take care of you.
I have washing machines in my home, Ma.
See,
it's okay. I live in a city.
Right. Exactly.
She thinks I live in the wilderness, I'm assuming.
Says someone from Joliet. No, 312-981-7200. Is there any bickering at your Thanksgiving table? Does it devolve into chaos, or does everyone get along? Like Lisa's family. We're just going to say Lisa's family because the quintessential family.
It sounds perfect because then they clean.
Right. I let my mom take care of me. I don't know. Maybe that's wrong of me to do. But so, for instance, it's not like huge things. It's that, so I have laundry in my apartment building, not in my unit. It's coin operated. It never works that well. So, yeah, when I go visit my parents, which is fairly often, I go volunteer and help out at my school's speech team, Downers Grove South. I help out with them like every 2 weeks in the winter. So I go out and I bring my laundry.
Now, do you do the laundry or does she do it for you?
So here's what happens. I start it.
Oh, okay.
So if I have a giant load of laundry, I will start it and I will go like take a nap because I work in the mornings like at WCIU, and I will nap at home in my old bed or my bedroom, which has been renovated like 9 times. But I will come home, I will come downstairs after a nap and it is all done and all folded up. And I always, I try to be really appreciative. Thank you so much. You don't have to. My goodness. But my mom knows I'm going to nap and she wants to do. And I let her, like, I let her have that part because I think that she likes that connection still.
I can see that. But then also I'm like, don't do that because she just does so much.
But she wants
in
to.
In the house already.
Right.
And she's always like, I don't have time to do anything because I have to clean this and do that. And I'm like, you know, there's only like 3 people in this house right now. I don't know what you're cleaning that is that dirty.
But I think that she wants to do that. And I love to host parties and have people over for New Year's Eve. And I do this giant taco fest. I think I told you about that in the summer where I cook like 90 pounds of meat for everybody. It's this crazy thing. But I don't like when people bring stuff to that. I don't like when they – I do like when they help clean. But I don't like – but I feel
you have
like
a set thing.
I have a set thing and I feel like – that moms and want to still do that for their kids. And and the more you resist them, the more tension you're creating. Just let your mom take care of you when she can. I don't know. That's just my, I just feel like that's.
Yeah, but I wanna cook the turkey the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep wanting to open the darn oven door. And I'm like, leave it.
Right. We got a text from
out air.
Yeah.
In the warm, in the heat.
We got a text from the 502. The first Thanksgiving was between, this is interesting, the little story of the that it was between Spanish Catholics and, of course, the Native Americans in what's now St. Augustine, Florida. I didn't know that. I'll have to look that up.
Oh, my gosh. How warm was that?
It was a hot one in Florida.
Oh,
yeah.
It was probably just humid.
No one was playing Dutch football in that humidity of the first Thanksgiving. I'll have to look this up. For some reason, I pictured it happening in the 17th century
north.
Up north at like Plymouth Rock or something. I'll have to look into this more. But the texter says that he or she is working too, and they have 250 miles till home sweet home, wishing everyone at WGN and their loved ones a blessed Thanksgiving weekend. Can you read that next part? I think they're through Louisville right now. So are they on their way home? Don't text and drive, but let us know if you're on your way home, 502. And I imagine there are a lot of people on the road right now. And we don't want you to text, of course, when you're driving. Yeah. But if you pull over at a rest stop, send us a text. Are you making your way back to Chicago for today?
Tell Siri to write it for
Tell Siri. Text WGN. I'm coming home. We want to hear from you guys, too. We want to hear about your Thanksgiving horror stories, your wonderful stories. Just share. I love, you know, it's just so fun to talk through everyone's traditions, and because everyone has like that little quirky thing that they do that maybe no one else does.
Oh, I have a question for you. What's your preferred cranberry?
I don't like cranberries.
What?
I don't. Maybe I've had bad ones in the past. You mean like a preferred cranberry dish?
Do you like
whether
sauce?
It's...
Do you like canned?
I would like sauce over canned. I think. What do you like? You like canned cranberry?
I like that canned.
Just the one that plops out.
The one.
Really?
It just falls in. I don't know what it is. And then you cut them into slices.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about that very tart, weird chemical taste is so enjoyable.
I am a very picky Thanksgiving eater. I've been better lately. But as a kid, I would have like a piece of turkey and Jell-O. And that's it.
Jell-O?
Jell-O. My mom makes this pretzel Jell-O thing.
What?
Yeah. It's like pretzel layer bottom with like some whipped cream stuff on the bottom, and it's got layers and Jell-O. Oh, it's totally just
is that dessert?
It's dessert, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm a very picky eater, so I'm sure. Now I do.
But when you were a kid,
no, I wouldn't have gravy.
What?
I don't know.
Did you guys?
I wouldn't have potatoes.
What?
I wouldn't have green beans. I would have mac and cheese if it was there. I was a terrible eater
now,
as a child.
Do you guys do the the green bean casseroles with the little onions on top.
Yes,
and
yes.
And the mushroom.
Yeah,
the mushroom,
not the mushrooms.
The,
yeah.
What is it, sweet potato casserole with the marshmallows and all that business?
So here's the thing is that my family does do some of that stuff. I just never really tried it, but Brett's family does all of that stuff. And we've done Thanksgiving at his house for the past few years down in Springfield, Illinois.
So are you into it now?
I'm into it now. Now I'm into it because she Brett's mom cooks everything, and it's fantastic. This year we're doing it on Friday because Brett's brother's a firefighter, so he's working just like my brothers are, but we all are off tomorrow. Well, off during the evening. Anyways, we got to take a quick break, but I want to hear your Thanksgiving horror stories, 312-981-7200, or your quintessential American ones, whatever you want. And we'll be back on 720 WGN. Little cake here on this Thanksgiving morning.
I want some cake.
I want some cake. Is cake a Thanksgiving thing? No,
yeah.
It's pies, right?
Pie, cake, pie, pumpkin cake.
Pumpkin cake?
Is that a thing?
I don't think
no?
so.
Okay.
I don't think so. text us or call us 312-981-7200 if pumpkin cake's a thing. The 219 says, love the pretzel salad. Sweet, salty, crunchy. It's Justin from Portage.
Never heard of that.
I hope we're talking about the same
or
thing.
Or calling it a salad. I
no,
think that's a thing. Back in the 70s, they used to make a lot of like jelly things,
right.
Jello things with fruits and vegetables in the Jello.
Well, there's no vegetables in this sucker.
Okay.
It's just pretzels, some cream thing.
Like crushed pretzels?
Crushed pretzels.
Okay, so it's like a crust.
It's kind of like a layer. It's a bottom crust of pretzels. It's got layers and it's got Jello. And my mom makes, it's like.
Is it green Jello? Why do I think
no, it's
green.
Red Jello. It's red Jello. So my dad is the cook in the family, right? So he's a firefighter.
Oh, okay.
My brothers are cooks too. My mom is not. She's getting better, actually, now that she's retired and has some time. It's not that she would, like, because she would have to cook for us when we were kids when my dad was working. We would just have meatloaf all the time or spaghetti.
That's a good
simpler
one to know,
simpler things.
Though,
oh, no, yeah. I mean, she tried. Bless her. She was working too. So. There was no time. And like when you're cooking for three boys, like just throw some ground beef in a thing and just shove it in our mouths. That's what I would do too. Like who cares? Like whatever. They're kids.
Eat this.
Yeah, it was fine. So when it comes to the holidays, there's not much my mom has contributed in terms of cooking. But this is something she's always done. It's always been her thing. But she always makes way too much of it. Now that we're grown up, we don't need only the, because like that would be all I ate. I'd have like a slice of small turkey and then half the Jello.
It's in a bowl?
No, it's in like a tray, like a serving tray.
About this thing.
But then you would scoop it obviously into your own bowl.
Okay, so it's not in a mold. Like I imagine it's in one of those circular donut looking molds.
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. I don't know what you're talking about, but that's not right.
You know, it looks like a
like
donut.
A pound cake thing?
Yeah.
No. So it's in like a tray, like in a glass tray.
Okay. I imagine this mountain
not much of, a cook.
Of Jello.
No, it's not a mountain. It's a thin layer. It's got pretzels crushed in the bottom and a layer of like cream, but not whipped cream, like a thick, sweet cream.
Okay.
The 29 says he is talking about the same thing. Yeah, it's layered red, white, and brown. Exactly.
Red, white. Oh, okay.
And you cut into like slices and you serve it and then you have it. Anyways, my mom makes so much of this that now the running joke is who gets stuck with the Jello as the leftover.
You do, right?
There's been time. Well, no, I try not to because I will eat the entire thing if I don't. We honestly, like the tray gets covered in tin foil. My mom will give it to one of us and I will hide it. I hid it in my younger brother's Jeep last year so that he would go home with it, but he saw it and hid it back in my trunk.
Oh, my God.
So
you're just passing around.
We just pass around the leftover Jello that nobody wants. And my poor mother, the only thing she cooks, we now make fun of her for it. And we shouldn't because God bless her, but we're all over the Jello. I mean,
you should get her a small glass container for her to make it and be like, just make it in here, Mom.
And now that she knows we hate it, I think she makes more of it just to spite us.
Oh. All right.
Well, because she's like, well, screw you, kids. I'm making a Jello and you're mocking me and passing it off.
She should make you all eat it.
I mean,
in front of me. Like, you're gonna eat
the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I'm really curious. I'm glad that there's someone else out there that has had this before.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if my mom invented this terrible dish.
It's good.
It is good because you get that salty, you get that sweet. I love Jello. Who doesn't love it?
I've about it.
Yeah.
We're not big Jello people anymore. We
no,
used
right.
to eat a lot of Jello, and it just kind of went.
Right.
It's dropped off. We're very, we don't really do any crazy things Thanksgiving.
Just turkey, very traditional.
Yeah, turkey, mashed potatoes. We don't do casseroles. We just do some like, you know, you just do sauteed vegetables, roasted.
Right.
For some reason, my mom always buys yams or sweet potatoes and then just sticks them in the oven.
Just as is.
And then she makes, usually, because her big thing is she makes these, and she makes these all the time. She just makes sweet potatoes in syrup.
Okay.
Just to have and eat.
That sounds really good.
And then she just makes them that day, too.
Okay. Because
I guess that's a thing.
Right.
Because sweet potatoes are all over the place. She's like, I'll make these. No one eats them.
I love sweet potatoes.
Only because I feel like it's doubling up.
What do you mean?
Got mashed potatoes.
Oh,
yeah. You don't need them both. I'm good.
Yeah, Brett's mom does that sweet potato, that really good one, the marshmallows.
Yeah, with the marshmallows. We've never done those things.
I'd never seen any of this stuff till I went to Brett's for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, ditto.
And I'm so glad we're still doing it on Friday.
So you can get both.
We get double. We get double Thanksgiving.
Now, do you do stuffing? Do you do crazy stuffing?
I don't know. I should ask these questions.
Know some people
I don't
do,
know.
Do like oysters?
Oh, no, nothing like
stuffing?
That. No. Just traditional, that crap you have in there. Fruit? Maybe dried cranberries?
Raisins.
Raisins, maybe that's it?
Raisins.
I have no idea. I don't know. I just eat it. I eat it and I go, that was good.
You go, what was it?
Thank you.
Eating right
now? I'll have more.
The green stuffing.
She makes a great green bean casserole, Brett's mom does. The turkey is always incredible. The gravy is great. The stuffing, all that stuff. So.
See, now that is a big thing. I've been, because, like I said, I watch America's Test Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're an expert.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
I practically
can't wait to tell your mom how smart you are about it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing with the stuffing, you know how the that caller who had that nightmare with the
gizzards, leaving all the stuff in
but
there?
But the stuffing was in it? You shouldn't do that. It's not a good idea.
To leave it all in there?
To stuff a turkey.
Right, because it's the temperature, right?
Yeah, it's temperature and it dries out the turkey.
Okay, so you want to cook your stuffing outside of it.
And there could be bacteria and things that happen. Yeah, it's not good.
When did that become a thing where it's just like, I'm just going to stuff a bunch of crap in this bird and cook it?
I can see the idea because the juices from the turkey go into the stuffing. But then they get out of the turkey and into the stuffing. I'd rather have them in the turkey, please.
Here's what I thought for way too long. Probably till about 2 years ago, that stuffing was just stuff that was inside the turkey.
I guess the guts
of the turkey
were
then scooped out. Okay, that's the gizzards.
Which are pretty funky because it's like the neck and the livers.
Ugh.
Well, you use those and you make a broth.
Okay.
You make a stock with them to do the gravy.
Right. So what you do is you rip all that out.
Yeah.
And then some people put a bunch of this stuff in there uncooked and cook it inside the turkey.
No.
Some people do that though, don't they? No.
Do they? No.
You don't cook it
because it's a bunch of. It's like a neck. It's a turkey neck.
No. What I'm saying is that you put the stuffing inside the turkey and in the oven.
Oh, the bread stuffing.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the gizzards.
No. Take them out to throw them back in. Now, the 630 says we change from standard sweet potatoes to Cajun sweet. They're a big hit in the family. Thank you, Mary from Roselle. Is that an actual type of potato, or is it just spiced that way? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, I'm assuming they're spicing it.
That sounds really good.
Because standard sweet potatoes could just be you roast them.
Right.
And then that's that.
We had that
makes them nice.
We had that caller that they say that they get an ingredient out of a hat, and then they change it each year. So maybe if you had any interesting twists that you have on some things.
Yeah.
And also, I want to know when people eat, because you and I are, I think, on the same page on this one.
Yeah.
That it is Thanksgiving dinner.
Dinner.
You eat. You do not eat at noon or at 11.
It's nighttime.
It's a nighttime thing. It is after the sun sets. Anytime after the sun sets, which is like at 4:30 now, that is when dinner can be served. I do not get the idea of eating so early in the day.
Yeah. And I had found an article. It's from Epicurious. And they're on my side. They say that Thanksgiving dinner at 2 o'clock is bogus.
Yeah.
It's lame. And it's because the only reason that this was happening is because back in the day, people ate dinner in the middle of the day. They ate it for lunch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was like their big meal, right?
That was the largest meal. That was dinner. And then later on, they would just eat like a snack, which was supper. But now we eat dinner at a nighttime hour.
Right.
And that's, I don't know why people eat at like noon and two.
May I add something?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, of course,
okay.
Please.
Okay. All right, I don't know about you guys or your families, but I'm from a very waspy family, and there's an inordinate amount of drinking that happens before right. dinner. So, you know, it's usually later in the evening, and
right.
everybody's pretty well sauced by the time that we start eating.
And well, that's what Thanksgiving's all about.
Getting blasted and then eating turkey.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And watch mm-hmm. football while you're drinking.
Oh, no, they don't do that. We just, you know, give each other the wasp stare and, you know, talk about people under our, you know, sotto voce.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. You do the backhanded compliments.
Kind of, but there's also a lot of sarcasm added in there, too. Oh,
so you have is it a big, do you guys bicker? Do you guys fight? Do you argue? Is that how your family
is? No, we don't. We just are silly and, mm-hmm. you know, we'll say silly stuff. And after this election season, we're all pretty much on the same page, and it's oh man, you know, that kind of attitude.
Well, that's nice that you're all on the same page. Yeah. My immediate family is, but not the extended family, which is fine. But no, I know there's other people out there that do not have these great Thanksgiving stories. Have some terrible ones.
Yeah,
I want to hear the terrible.
How awful are we? We want to hear the disaster.
We've heard some good ones, and feel free to keep calling and texting if you've got this great family and you do all these great things. But we all know there's people out there that are.
Oh, I've got a few.
Yeah, right. That are just not really looking forward to it, or if they're just like, this is not going to be the best thing. By the way, I have the recipe now. The 708.
Do tell.
Strawberry pretzel jello. The crust layer is crushed pretzels with melted butter. So
I
that's
like that.
What that is. The next layer is cream cheese creamed with sugar. That sounds okay. about right. And the top layer is strawberry jello.
Oof.
And my mom, his mom or her mom puts strawberries in it too.
Okay.
So does mine.
Okay.
So yeah, it sounds great and it is. But when you've got like 16 pounds of this stuff to get through, it's terrible.
It is a lot of butter and sugar and cream cheese.
Right. It is not the best. WGN. Esmeralda, I am talking about how to escape plane crashes during the break. Well, it's part of an article you were talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the tip they were giving is if you're traveling,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people are, there's just some tips because I guess this year it was set to be the busiest
mm-hmm.
for travel in 9 years. 48.7 million Americans are predicted to hit the road and take to the skies.
Right.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
It's 1/6 of the country is moving somewhere. And I'm sure that doesn't include people like me that are, you know, just going like 20 miles away.
Right. There's people flying just.
Right.
I was here. You know, they fly from everywhere because they want to be with the families and all that.
So I'm a nervous flyer. So this article applied to me.
Right. But you were saying that some aren't true.
Yeah, well, immediately they say that if you don't like turbulence, first and foremost. So I'm a nervous flyer on jets. This makes no sense. I don't like flying in jets, even though they are absolutely nearly
as tiny.
No, it's not that. I actually like the small planes. I like small planes or helicopters. When I was a traffic reporter, I'd go up there and do that.
Really?
All that stuff never bothered me. It's because I can see the pilot's eyes. And they never seem worried. Like, they're so calm. And if they're calm, I'm calm. If they just had a little, like, video stream that I could watch that showed the cockpit and how calm it was,
right.
it would never bother me. What bothers me is that I feel like I have no control. For some reason, when I was in the helicopter for doing traffic,
mm-hmm.
I always just felt like, oh, if this pilot dies, I could land this thing. I totally could not, but I feel like I could.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can see the pilot. So it makes me nervous to fly in jets. Never bother me at all. And then I became obsessed with watching plane crash documentaries.
What?
I know, because I'm a crazy person. Well,
Before you start flying, too, right?
Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, so I combated. Like, I still fly. I flew back from Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even talked about how I went to Vegas.
Yes.
Something we're not going to talk about. But I'm a nervous flyer. So I walk through some of these things. And what I don't like is this thing where it says if you can sit at the front of the plane, sit at the front of the plane because there's usually less turbulence, which I'm almost 100% certain is not true. I think the the least turbulent part of the plane is over the wings. Because if you just think of the center of gravity
right.
and the way that works and the way turbulence hits planes, the front would not be the calmest part. It would be the wings.
I didn't know. I took it as this way you can get out as soon as possible
right.
and not have to deal with everybody.
Right. No,
so you got to wait for everyone to take their luggage from the top. And sometimes they have it farther away.
Right.
And they don't think, I'll just sit here and wait for everyone else to leave.
Right. One thing my mom always used to tell me, she's like, do you really think you're that special that you're going to die in a plane crash? Like,
oh, wow.
Right. She's like, just like that.
You're
that,
so common.
Right. That, yeah, exactly. No, just like, oh, you think it's going to happen to you? Like, it's like a one in a bazillion chance
oh,
of happening.
Man, I like that.
And that would put me at ease because I'd be like, really? You think I'm going to be on this plane, the one that goes down? Like, come on.
You're no special snowflake.
You're no special snowflake.
You're not going to fall from that. It's like, wow. All right. I guess not.
I know. It's a weird logic to go through, but it really does put me at ease. I'm like, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Well, that's good. I mean, some of these make sense to keep your stress level down is to breathe, which, yeah, oxygen is supposed to be very comforting.
Yes.
It can get you high, can it?
Yeah, like if you have pure oxygen. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can get stoned on that. Yeah. So this is...
That would also keep your stress level down.
I can't believe I forgot about this, but so when we flew to Vegas last Friday... my buddy Nick and I, we went to Vegas. We go the same weekend every year. We had the most nervous flyer I've ever seen get on the plane. I wouldn't even qualify her as a nervous flyer. I'd qualify her as insane about it because when she was boarding, she had covered herself in her jacket. She was sobbing and her friend was helping her get on the plane. And as soon as they fired up those engines, she was screaming, "Get me off this plane. Get me off this plane. Get me." And in a weird way, you think that would make me more nervous, but it actually calmed me down because I wanted to go back there and just be like, aww, look, I'm nervous about this, but I can tell you're even more, and like be that calmer person because I think that puts me at ease then. But she was having none of it. But I wanted to like tell her when we land, like, see, it's fine, lady.
We're no special.
Oh, she was like, she was the one that probably started the round of applause, which I love when happens when we land.
Oh,
when everyone
okay.
just claps for the... Has it ever happened to you?
No.
Really?
Doesn't that only happen when, like, scary things happen and then they land and they go, thank you for saving, for not dropping the plane from the sky?
This flight was entirely uneventful, as smooth as can be, and the pilots got an incredible round of applause for landing. Maybe it's because we landed in Vegas.
No, I think I've gotten the round of... Not me, but I've gotten the round of applause on every flight I've been on.
Really?
I feel like, yeah.
That everyone claps and joins in some sort of, you got us here?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a polite kind of, you know, golf clapping. But
thank you. Thank you very much.
I thought it was just customary for like, hey, thanks for not killing us in the air.
I guess, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, no, most of the people on the plane couldn't do it. So it's like, thank you for being here.
But that's their job.
Thanks.
Do you get the clap after every show? Just like,
you
oh, you
get
did
one,
it.
Like, good job.
You didn't do anything
you
that bad.
On the microphone.
I would like that, actually.
Well,
you would
we'll
clap
for
me
you,
after
Dan.
The
we'll...
show today.
Or there's a group out in the hallway.
Right.
Just every time people come out, it's like a golf club.
Right.
Like, good job. You did very well.
Like, paramedics don't get that when they resuscitate someone. Oh, well, maybe the wife is like, yay. I guess that's kind of a clap.
I mean, it'd be a lot to think about if you just were brought back and you have to remember to clap for the EMT.
I didn't mean the potential patient.
I was thinking they're like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
I better
clap for you.
I better clap.
Then the EMT's like, hey, where's my clap?
I'm really curious. You can just text us or call us 302-981-7200. Do you clap when the plane lands?
I don't. Yeah, no.
So the first time I experienced this thoroughly was when I studied abroad in Italy. We flew with Ryanair for like $2 a flight, and they'd pack you in, and it was like a circus. Like, there were people, the stewardesses were going up and down the aisle, the flight attendants, like, handing out, like clown noses, and it was like a weird, weird experience being on Ryanair. And everyone, it wasn't just polite applause, everyone cheered when the plane landed.
Maybe because it was so cheap. They were like, oh, something bad might happen.
Yeah, oh, I don't know if this one's going to have two engines. Probably just one. It was only $4.
We got here. I only get freaked out when it goes up.
Yeah.
And then when it comes down. I do a little sign of the cross or whatever.
Really?
What have you when it goes up.
I don't like taking off. That's the one thing that makes me nervous.
It's
the ascent that drives me crazy. It's the most dangerous part of the flight. You're essentially full of as much fuel as possible, and there's nothing that's going to happen.
Cool.
If anything happens during takeoff or ascent, like anything really bad, you're donezo. Landing doesn't bother me. Halfway through the flight, here's how I see it. Halfway through that flight, me and that pilot are now on the same page. He is doing everything he can to get that plane on the ground. That first half of the flight, we are not on the same page. He's doing everything he can to bring that flight to 38,000 feet and level off, which is the least favorite thing. So once we're into it and cruising, I'm totally fine.
And they come on the thing.
Yeah, when they talk
on. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, when they're like, all right, we got it up here. We were doing fine.
It's
okay.
Real sunny out.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll make it early. Okay, bye.
And then landing doesn't bother me at all. Like, it can be as bumpy as can be, and I'm like, that's fine. I'm overthinking it, but I'm like, well, we don't have any fuel left on this plane as long as we can glide down.
Yeah, but what if you just careen into things?
We'll be fine. There's no fuel on the plane. That'll help.
Okay,
yeah.
We're not going to explode, but what if we careen into something and, yeah, we get smushed?
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's still the possibility of that, but the landing, although it is a dangerous thing to do, it is something that they're well trained at, and the plane is light, and you're going to be fine. There's been so many instances of planes breaking apart as they land, and almost everyone survives. So I feel like my odds are pretty good.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to...
I'm sorry that we ventured into this.
No, it's good. It's good for people who are worried.
Yeah, you're totally fine out there, people. And also turbulence. We're talking about turbulence. Mm-hmm. Turbulence has never brought down a plane. So everyone chill out.
Good.
Just make sure you're buckled in your seat. That's the only time you can get really hurt.
Isn't it clouds?
What clouds?
Turbulence.
No, because it happens in clear air too. Turbulence is the moving of the pressures of the and the different winds, things that you have at different elevations. That's why, like, when we went to Vegas, it was very bumpy for a while in the middle of a clear, gorgeous day. It got really, really rocky. Yeah. It's called turbulence.
It was clouds.
Nope.
Now I know.
It's wind. WGN. John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Nick DiGilio. Esmeralda moved from Traffic Hut down to the Showcase Studio.
I moved up but down.
You moved up but down. Hey, gotta get up to get
down.
So naturally it's Thanksgiving, so we're talking about plane crashes, and we the first hour was all Thanksgiving. It's a travel thing. I'm a nervous flyer.
Well, and it was all Thanksgiving. It was very nice and lovely, and people are making people cards and making very lavish, wonderful dinners.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
right?
You know. So, talk about some realities, like plane crash.
We both talked about our nerves during flying. Mine always seem to subside after we take off because I'm under the impression that landing is safe and nothing can go wrong. Or if things go wrong, it's easily survivable because there's no fuel on the plane. And Dan is a former pilot, and you're saying that I should not have that sense. Well, maybe not that I should have the sense of safety, but that I'm wrong in believing that takeoff is worse than landing.
The taking off is the fun part, you know, because, I mean, it's just a straight-up shot. It's the landing that's tough.
Well, did you say tough or more dangerous?
When you're coming down, you got all the crosswinds you got to fight with. And we used to call it a successful crash. and really, that's what it is. When it comes down, when you land, if you land, you did good.
Yeah, but Dan, I got to ask, but like, so did you fly, smaller planes or did you fly commercial airliners?
No, I fly small planes.
Yeah, I just know that from most of the stats I've read that, yes, of course things can go wrong and it's difficult to land, but without all that jet fuel, because the planes are, they still have some, but very little when they land, that's how they map that out, that it's more survivable? I don't know, maybe I should just forget that whole notion.
So you're just worried about explosions.
Yes.
I think he's thinking too much about it. I was going to tell you also that if you have headphones, you know, for watching a movie or whatever, you can plug in and you can, there's a dial you can turn at your seat. You can listen to the pilots talking back and forth at a tower. You know what's going on the whole time.
Right. So, Dan.
I don't know.
The ATC, no, I would love to listen to air traffic control, but all the planes that I fly on anymore, there is no channel for it. Because there used to be as a kid, I would listen to air traffic control and it would put me at so much ease. Because you just hear how basic and boring, and I find it interesting, but just how level-headed everything is.
Oh, you're kind of a nerd.
But Dan, I can't find that on any planes anymore.
Well, you got to look. But I just think you just got to take a breath.
Yeah.
If you think about how many people are driving on the road today.
Right.
Compared to how many airplanes are in the air, I would rather be in the air.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Dan. And it's not that I don't know those stats. It's just that like little planes don't bother me. I don't mind if I'm in a Cessna and it's fine and it's bumpy and it's crazy. Doesn't bother me in the slightest because, Dan, I'm looking at you and you look just fine. But when I'm in that plane, I can't see that cockpit. So, Dan, we appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Okay. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Have a good night.
Have a good Thanksgiving. Yeah, exactly.
I'm freaked out by the small ones. They're too small.
Everyone says I'm crazy for that, and I agree. It is silly that I am somehow okay with the small ones.
I want a big old plane.
No,
that's two floors.
Isn't there
two floor?
Of course, that's 747s. Yeah, with the bumps and the 787s now. Yeah,
I want one of those.
So one of the things the article says is to learn as much as you can about planes, and that's. I've done that, and that does help to start to understand.
Yeah, I can understand.
Because at the end of the day, here's what this is. Flying is, at some point, except for very rare instances, you're letting physics do what physics does.
Right.
You know, you're letting the laws of science, which I trust, I don't know if our new administration does, but I trust the laws of science to figure this out. The wing is not going to just fall off. That doesn't happen. Yeah. These things are designed for that.
Especially when you hear that
right.
noises and like things start shaking on right. the wings. You're like, what's going on?
Yeah. Go ahead and watch some videos of the stress tests they put on wings. It is insane how much those things can bend without breaking. Mm. It's crazy. They are built to withstand. I mean, it can fly through a darn hurricane.
Is it really bad that I always think a gremlin's going to be on the wings like in that Twilight Zone? Like I look out and I go, what was that?
That would be weird. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't freak me out, though. I don't know what the gremlin could do. The 847
rip out things.
847 says, hello, I always cringe when landing. Mm-hmm. The three worries. I worry that the rear wheels won't touch down evenly, which they don't often because of a crosswind, but they're designed to absorb that. Brakes feel like they struggle to slow the plane down. Well, you should be happy to know that it's mostly slowed down through reverse thrust. And the brakes just handle the last of it. That's when. So if you watch when the plane lands, if you're near the wings, mm-hmm. you'll notice the wings flap up the other way. So the flaps right. are down. They flap up. That's an intake thing, I think. Anyways, it slows it down. And then the thing is, I hope we don't run out of the runway.
I'm with you, Jesse, from the 847.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing. You can run out of runway. And that actually, very sadly, happened at Midway. Oh, when was that? 2005, maybe? When that plane, the Southwest plane, ran off and the runway and because of icy conditions. Everyone on the plane survived, but a six-year-old was killed in a car. Plane went through at 55th and Central right. and busted through the barricades and killed a poor kid.
Those always freak me out. Especially, have you seen that video of the plane?
I'm sure.
It's in some tropical place.
Oh, St. Martin. Oh, yes.
Is that what it is? The planes are landing. People are on the beach like staring at its wheels. Yes. Like,
so St. Martin, if you've ever been down there, yes. Yeah, so you go to this airport, and it's the craziest landing and takeoff. The thing lands right off the beach. They've actually extended the runway now, so it doesn't quite look that spectacular as it used to. But it is really cool. You can watch the planes coming for a landing. And
that is so frightening to me.
Right.
I just, no.
Single-engine planes bother the 847 if they quit, start praying. That's a good point. Those little planes have one engine. At least on a jet, you've got two. And while they can't perform all functions with two engines, you can usually find the nearest airport and land without any problems. 747s obviously have the four engines, which you should feel very safe with. I mean, at the end of the day, Dan is right. Feel safe. You are totally fine in the air. But no matter how often you show me stats and anything like that, it won't. It does not negate the fact that we are in an aluminum tube going from 0 to 536 miles an hour, from 0 to 37,000 feet, and then back down again. And the fact that I have no control over it and that I can't see the pilot
right?
drives
me crazy.
Can't go anywhere.
You're stuck in there until they land it.
But then at the end of the day, twist that. You can twist that fact that you're stuck in there, there's nothing you do about it, as almost like a, hey, take the wheel, Jesus. Like, there's nothing you can do. So
I do think of that.
Once you're in that plane and that door is closed,
happens,
unless you're crazy lady in the back of the plane screaming to get off, they ain't going to let you off. So you're going to be fine. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio out today. Esmeralda Leon went from traffic hut, down to Showcase Studio. And John Hanson here filling in as well on this Thanksgiving. I hope it is filled with food and love and fun and as less arguing as possible. Although most people we talked to tonight, Esmeralda, they were looking forward to this
thing. Yeah, we have a lot of love love-filled listeners.
Love-filled. They're full of love. They're full of something, that's for sure. Thanksgiving traditions stem from everything, of course, eating and drinking, watching football. But for a lot of people in one western suburb, that being Downers Grove, my hometown, Thanksgiving includes a fun run in the morning for thousands upon thousands of people, all to honor Mr. Jim Bonfield. And Mr. Bonfield was my dean at Downers Grove South High School and a family friend growing up. His son, Jim Bonfield, now joins us on the line. Jimmy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good morning, Esmeralda and John.
Oh, that's so sweet. Jim, it's so nice to talk. I call him Jimmy because we were in elementary school together, and we all knew him as Jimmy Bonfield. So it's hard to call him Jim, but he goes by Jim, so I'm going to do my best.
Don't worry about it.
Your dad, unfortunately, passed away in 2003. I knew him as this incredible man. Could you talk to and let our listeners know kind of who he was, what he was involved in, and what, you know, when people say think of Jim Bonfield, your dad, what do they think of?
Yeah, absolutely. So my father, as you said, was dean of students at Downers Grove South High School. He taught there for more than three decades. Prior to being dean, he was he's always been throughout his tenure there a coach. Was a teacher, a mentor for countless individuals, and a huge lover of community, sportsmanship, involvement, things of that nature. He did pass away in 2003 from complications of Hodgkin's disease, leukemia, and rheumatoid arthritis. So
he battled through so much, Jim, and like you could kind of see it. I mean, with the arthritis particularly, and you know, your dad went through so many things, but gosh, he was still always so kind. At least that's what we saw. I'm sure as a dad, what kind of dad was he?
He was an amazing dad. He wanted the best for me and everyone that I was involved with. He wanted me to be involved. And I think I walked away with his best characteristics. And we look for those characteristics in the individuals that receive the scholarships in his name from our foundation.
And that's, I think, the interesting thing that me and you and your mom, Annette, we got to chat on the public affairs show I host on WCIU now.Chicago about these scholarships and who receives them. But the Thanksgiving tie to all of this is that, what, it was his favorite holiday, so after he passed, the following year, you guys decided to put together this fun run, right?
Correct. Yeah. So the first one was in 2004, and probably, you know, several hundred strong, 500, 800 runners. And now, you know, 13 years later, we're looking at over 6,000 registered participants, over $400,000 in scholarships given to over 160 seniors. Like it's insane, and, yeah. but it's great, you know. So trying to turn a negative into a positive, and I think that we've nailed it.
It starts at 8:30 today, and I imagine registration. There was some earlier stuff, but can people still participate if they want to run or walk in this thing?
If they want to run or walk this morning, they can register at the Tivoli Theater in downtown Downers Grove. And it's going to be a great way, rain or shine, we're going to have a good time.
And I imagine, Jim, it's hard every year around the holidays. Is this event something that, you know, at the very least, it's a chance for you, your mom, your close friends, and really the whole community to remember your dad? It almost is like a nice way to start the holiday season. And it can be tough, and I'm sure, of course, it is still tough. But it's nice to kind of start it out with this really nice way to remember your dad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this has become an event that is, it's not really about us anymore. A lot of people that I think are involved with it now probably never knew my father. A lot of the students that are receiving these awards now, they've not heard of him, they have not met him.
Right.
Or were touched by him. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, a lot of these recipients might have been, he might have been their dean. So, yeah, no, it's a great way to start off. How could you not start off Thanksgiving by running 5 or 3 miles? with all of your best friends.
Right. And that's a great way to burn the calories before you completely consume them.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also such a reunion. You know, people are in from school. Families are together. It's a great way to, like, get your day going. There's after parties galore in downtown Downers, post-race, not only thrown by us and on behalf of, you know, Fresh Time Market is providing all kinds of, like, foods and goodies for people post-race, but, like, people get together, and it's a good time. Since we are right in downtown, all the local restaurants are open, and people live in walking distance, so everyone's hosting things. It's just all around, like, a good time, and that's exactly what he would have wanted, you know? He wouldn't have had it any other way.
After I take a quick nap this morning, is Roundheads going to be open? Can I have a Roundheads, a beer over there?
They're probably going to be open. I can't speak to their schedule, but I think we could all use a beer after.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, it's so cool. For people that are listening and they're not going to obviously be able to make it today, they have plans. How can people learn more about the foundation and ways to help?
Sure. So by all means, check out our website, bondfieldexpress.com. There you'll be able to see a list of the schools that are involved, our corporate sponsorships that have helped put on this race for this year. And that's really, you know, if ever people are in the mood to get involved via sponsorship or volunteer opportunities, they're able to email us through our website.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us here this morning. Enjoy the race, okay?
Hey, thank you very much. Both of you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
We will. I want to. Now, it always inspires me to go run, and it's almost embarrassing that it's such a big event, and I've actually never run a race in it. Usually, we're working a lot of times on Thanksgiving, but a lot of my friends who went to Downers Grove South do it, and every year I need to go at one of these points. I don't know
at
about
least
this.
A cheer.
Just a cheer, yeah. And I thought it was always a run-oriented thing, and I'm sure most people do run in it. But Annette, Jim's mom, and Jim Sr.'s wife said that I could. I'm allowed to walk, so it's just fine.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's a really sweet thing. So thank you to Jim and BondfieldExpress.com. It's a really big thing in Downers Grove and the western suburbs. .720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon in for Nick DiGilio. Esmeralda's with her peeps. These are your peeps.
These are my peeps.
We want to hear about your Thanksgiving plans. I imagine a lot of you are up early cooking. 312-981-7200. We've been hearing the wonderful stories of Thanksgiving. Haven't heard too many disaster stories. I don't know. I thought we were going to hear some. We heard one about the gizzards.
The gizzards. But that, you know, you can eat around that.
Right. I think we often love to think of holidays as this joyous time. And for a lot of people, they are. And I think that, but for most people, I think they're always a mixed bag. Because everyone's got someone that's not at the dinner table anymore. We just talked to Jim Bonfield, who lost his father when he was 19 years old. I mean, like, or 19 or 20. So there's a lot of people that are going to be dealing with, you know, loved ones that are gone, and maybe for the first time this year. And I'm in that boat. My grandfather passed away last Friday, 91 years old, and a World War II combat veteran in the Pacific Theater, was a paratrooper. Did more for his country by the age of 20 than all of us will do in our lifetime. A war hero, anyone who served in that war is, and raised five kids and all that stuff. And we're going to miss Grandpa, obviously, this year. His wife, Dolly, was a partier. They were all partiers. Mm-hmm. She passed 12 years ago. So there's something about it that I'm just glad. I'm just glad for him that he passed peacefully. We got to celebrate his 90th birthday last year. He stuck around for the Cubs to win it all. His wife was a huge Cubs fan. My grandma was this gigantic Cubs fan, and she's the one that really instilled it in my dad and then in me. My grandpa wasn't the biggest Cubs fan, but I feel like he stuck around so he could tell the story.
Right.
Because they're at the bar. Like, they are in Heaven's Bar immediately. Like, I'm sure my grandpa showed up, and my grandma has already been at the bar for 12 years, like, just, like, waiting for him to come there. And they had two really great family friends, too. It's actually a cool story. So my grandmother and my when my dad was born, July 1st, 1950, my grandmother shared a hospital room with a woman named Pat, and for her first son, born on the same day, and they became best friends, and the families became linked. They were the they were down from Mattoon, so it was the Dohertys, and they had like a bazillion kids, and the Hansons, and they would go family vacations in Wisconsin. So growing up, I had my grandpa and my grandma, but we also had Auntie Pat and Uncle Ray, but they're not they weren't real family. They were but as much as family as you're going to get. They were all Auntie Pat and my grandma would go to spring training, Cubs games, all this stuff. Uncle Ray, I imagine, was a Cubs fan too. So I just feel like, and all three of them have passed before my grandfather did on last Friday. And I just feel like he's there telling the story because my dad made sure. I don't think my grandpa watched Game 7 live, but I think my dad played it back for him and actually played a few pranks on him, being like, I bet this guy's going to hit a home run. And then he did, and my grandpa was really impressed that my dad knew that. I don't think my grandpa quite realized that we were watching a replay of the game. He had kind of lost a little bit of his of his mental facilities, which how would you not at 91? That'll be tough at Christmas because they loved Christmas. My grandpa and grandma, they were just huge. Like, they had that Christmas tree that was like 9 feet tall and had about 12,000 lights on it.
Oh, that's and wonderful.
Even more ornaments. Like, where there was no tree. I don't even know why they would have a tree. Just pile up a bunch of ornaments and throw some lights on there. But so, anyways, this is not to talk about my situation because I was blessed to have a grandfather live for 91 years. But the holidays aren't always the greatest for people, and I imagine that there's a lot of toughness, right? I mean,
You know, sometimes it's you may not have family where you are,
right?
And maybe you can't make it back home to visit, and so you're by yourself. You know, if you've moved for a job or your school and all those kinds of things, and you're just living kind of solitary for the moment, it can be really tough. Especially, I mean, this is kind of the beginning of all these like very family
I know.
And be together holidays, and it's kind of sometimes if you're by yourself you're just like, I don't want to
that's such a good point. I didn't think about that, the idea that you might have to work and you've moved halfway across the country and you can't come back, and you know your family's there having, or a lot of people, like, so both my brothers are firefighters, I think they're both off today, but that rarely happens and they've got to work through the whole holiday. So I guess it's good to keep those people in mind. But also, you found this really cool article, right, about...
Yeah, you know, it's just because you are feeling these things, you shouldn't feel bad about it. You shouldn't feel bad about feeling bad.
Right.
Because, you know, it happens to a lot of people, and it's just the... I found this article gives a couple tips, you know, it's like accepting that it is tough. You know, you
have being okay with that.
Yeah, being okay with, I'm kind of sad right now because I'm not with my family, or, you know, my family's gone, be it distance or, you know, death and that kind of thing. And it's okay to know that it's okay to feel sad.
There's a bunch of other things on this list, and why don't we get to that after the news? And if you maybe experienced, maybe you did go away for a while, maybe you're back home. If you are away from family, want to give them a shout out here in Chicago. I mean, at this time of the day, these airwaves go on for a long distance. So give us a call at 312-981-7200. We don't want to end this show on a sad note, but we're trying to bring some positivity to some of you that might.
It's how to deal with that sadness.
Right.
Not let it envelop you.
Exactly. Okay, quick commercial break. I'll be right back on 720 WGN. Happy Thanksgiving morning, Chicagoland and everywhere else. This is John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon. We're filling in for Nick DiGilio today. Had a great time, Esmeralda, as always, and we're back tomorrow. For Black Friday. And I, as a primer to this, neither one of us are Black Friday fans, right?
No, so, I do not enjoy it.
So we're going to save that for tomorrow. So if you've got some angst, or you're really a Black Friday fan, or you're shopping, we want to hear from you. So yeah, if you are shopping tomorrow and you're out of one of these malls at like 3 in the morning, call us.
Yeah, maybe you can convince us to come out there.
We want to chat with you. So give us a call, 312-981-7200. It is Thanksgiving today, though, and we've been talking about some really great stories of families getting together and the things they cook. And it is easy to forget, and maybe not for you out there who might be experiencing something like this, that some of us are alone, some of us are away, some of us aren't enjoying this amazing holiday. And I think, Esmeralda, that by hearing this, this isn't to bring anyone down. It's to either strengthen numbers, remind people that you're not alone.
Exactly.
But also to find ways that maybe you can help, but also maybe if you have a huge family, you have the biggest party in the world,
right?
Finding those people that might not and helping them along too.
Exactly.
Got a text, a sad one from the 773, from this gentleman or lady in his or her 60s. They say they have no family left and they spend their holidays alone. I know I'm not the only one. You are not the only one. I may be having a bologna sandwich, but I'm grateful for a roof over my head and a sandwich to eat. So the finding some joy in those moments is fine. What maybe there's some recommendations in this article, right, of what someone can do.
The one I really like is to laugh. And they say, you know, watch a funny movie. Don't watch anything like holiday or sentimental. But just watch, you know, a really silly Jim Carrey movie. Or something with
watch
Eddie
Ace
Murphy.
Ventura on repeat, please.
Just something to, you know, just get you out of your head for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. I like this hug it out as well, finding some warm contact. Obviously, if you're all alone, maybe that's harder to do, but get out there and meet people. I don't know. Yeah. If there are other people like you out there, there's got not you, but our texter, there's got to be some commonality. I mean, there's internet, find people, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I also think if you are lonely and alone, a nice thing to do is to volunteer.
Okay.
Volunteer your time because, you know, there might be someone in need, you know, soup kitchens and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're alone.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're kind of using your whatever talents you have to help out others.
And, always,
you know,
makes you
kind of you both get together.
And, yeah. And it makes you feel better about what you're doing. And just that whenever I'm down, that social interaction really is what gets, even just like going for a nice long walk, going into your favorite grocery store, you know, whatever it is, and say hello to some people and just get talking. And there are a lot of people that are alone. And there's some people that are temporarily alone, like you said, for moving. And Dan joins us now. Dan, you've got a story from the first time that you were alone on the holidays, but you really had all the best excuse in the world, I guess you could say.
Yeah, this was Dan.
Yep.
Yeah. I joined the Air Force when I was by myself, didn't really know anybody at first, down in Louisiana, and I parked my pickup truck out in the woods, sat on the tailgate, drank a six-pack of Heineken, and ate a couple cans of sardines. I was thankful I had a spoon. I'm jamming tunes. It was excellent.
And that was your first Thanksgiving alone?
Well, in the Air Force, yes.
Yeah.
And so now every 2-3 years, the wife and I, we do it like a Jennie-O turkey with instant mashed potatoes and packaged gravy and, you know, the Esmeralda cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
And we pull the whole meal off for like less than $20.
You keep it simple.
Yeah, man. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say you and your wife took the pickup truck and had some sardines and a six-pack of Heineken.
You do it every year.
Jamming tunes, yeah, it was funny. All right, man.
Dan, have a great one. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. And I imagine, and that's, you know, perspective is also a really good thing. This is really sad, actually. So I won't get into too many details, but my roommate, who I love to death, her mother passed away like 5 years ago of a very aggressive brain cancer, and we decorated the tree yesterday at our house. We always try and find a day to do it. And I always want to be there because it's really tough for her.
Right.
It's added tough because all of their family ornaments were lost in a flood after her mom died. And so it's every year. And we joke about it. We say, well, we're going to decorate tonight, so let's get ready for all the sobbing that happens. But we make light of it because we know it's coming. But, like, we go all in. We had the music on. We had everything. And it was the Frank Sinatra song that was released during World War II that really kind of, like, stirred up some emotions in her. And she was fine, of course, and we hugged it out. And, you know, that she says that that's okay for her. She likes to have those moments where she remembers. And even if it does bring sadness, it's therapeutic for her to go through that. But during that song, we were talking about it. I mean, that song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, If Only in My Dreams, it's like the saddest thing, and it was meant for our military. And I think that, you know, whatever stance you have on wherever stance you are on military issues, there are so many of our brave men and women out there that are not, they will not be home this Thanksgiving. They will not be home this Christmas, and it's important to remember them too.
Yeah.
And the Air Force reminded me of that. Yeah. So
and sometimes you have to cry it out.
Right.
You have something in there. Let it out. Cry. It's not embarrassing, whatever. Mm-mm. Just let it out. Usually, if that happens, you know, you have those emotions and you start crying. And if you feel better.
Right.
At least I do. You feel better. It's like a valve was opened, and now, poof, done.
Take a snack break was recommended, I see, on this holiday stress relievers one. Oh, that was the stress relievers, not the
right.
dealing with sadness.
Well,
I was like, eat away your feelings. Oh, no, that's for stress. Okay, I got it.
Well, they do in this one about how to deal with the sadness, treat yourself. So, you know, go have a nice dinner.
Yeah.
You know, even if you want to make dinner.
Make a dinner, yeah.
Something nice. Get yourself a steak.
You know? I think having that like regimen, like that thing where you're like, I'm going to do this today. This will be the thing I do today.
Yeah.
Really helps through lonely times. I really like this takeaway that they have at the end of this article. And this is greatest.com that we're reading off of. The holidays will be over as soon as they began. You're going to be back to the daily grind before you know it, like the routine, which really helps. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably wish you enjoyed the break a little bit more. And that's a really good point. People get sad over the holidays. It is still, hopefully, time off from work. So find, enjoy it. Try to find something that you're going to do. So this is relax, breathe into it, whether you're alone. Like I was the person who wrote the article, mm-hmm. or surrounded by relatives that challenge you. The year following that lonely holiday, she spent Christmas with her boyfriend and his loving, welcoming, warm family. So a lot can change in a year. And I think that's also a thing. And a new year is nearly here. That's a really sweet way to say that.
Yeah, when you think about it. Once Christmas is over, it's a whole new year, and there's so much you can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just not even a whole new, it's a whole new day, the next day. It's like, what do you want to do? You go do it.
Yeah. 312-981-7200, taking your phone calls and texts about how to help other people that might not be having a happy holiday. But we'd still love to hear from you and your cooking plans. I know there are people that are up this early cooking. And I know that because we talk to people at 2 in the morning that we're cooking.
Right.
So what are you doing? What's your special treat? What's the one thing that's going to wow all of your guests today? Or that one dish that you're going to bring that you know is going to blow them all away when you bring it on in?
Oh, boy.
Or the dish that you are really worried about, or the dish that you just don't care about. Like, you're going to just go get a pie from a store, pretend like you made it, and bring it on in.
Okay.
Are you bringing anything to Thanksgiving? Nope. That's right. You're just going to let it go.
No, you know what? I'm bringing, actually, my boyfriend made some relish. Some sort of cranberry.
Cranberry relish?
Cranberry orange relish.
So, hold on, let me get this straight. You're bringing your boyfriend's relish, but you're not bringing your boyfriend?
No, he's good. I don't need to subject him to that mess.
Really? You won't bring him?
No, it's just a lot of bickering, and it's like, you don't have to. It's fine. That's only one person.
But your brother's going to bring his girlfriend.
That is a whole other story. She is not well-liked in
really?
My home.
Is she
or my parents.
She's not listening. He's not listening,
I doubt
right?
it. If she is, I don't care.
Really?
No,
it's that bad.
I don't like her.
What about it? Don't you like her?
She'd stayed with my parents,
mm-hmm.
and she was not. Very, at least in my mind, not very respectful.
Really?
In terms of staying in another person's home as a guest.
Like what? What did she do? Like put her feet up on the counter or like not say thank you?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, she wouldn't say, you know, there was no thank yous. There was no helping out. She was living rent free.
Oh, so this wasn't just for the night. This was.
Yeah, no, this was for a few months. Yeah. She wasn't. Yeah, she didn't. She was living rent free. And, you know, you would think if you're living rent-free somewhere, you're going to try to do your best by like, what can I do? What can I do? Can I
right.
let me do this? Let me do that. No, none of that was happening. She was walking around. Like in Spanish, there's a saying when someone gets too comfortable, they're walking around like, well, in Spanish, it's como Juan por su casa. Like John
you
going to his
house.
Own house.
Okay.
And I know there's that saying, like, mi casa es su casa.
Right.
But still, it's like, you know, still, you have a level of respect for things, and it was not happening.
Did it bother your parents?
It bothered my mom. Well, it bothered my mom in the beginning, like, right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered me because I kept hearing about it. And then right. my dad, at one point, something snapped, and he was like, no.
Really?
This is not cool anymore. Yeah.
And your brother was living there, too, at the time,
yes.
right? It wasn't just his girlfriend yes. was just hanging out at your parents'
and
house.
And she's got family here, so it's not even like she has no one to go to. They just didn't want to deal with
it. And that was it? She was just rude and unappreciative?
Yeah.
That soured yes. you forever?
Yep.
There's nothing she can do to bring you back?
Nope.
What happens if she brings this amazing sweet potato marshmallow thing tonight?
No, that's fine.
What happens if she gives you cranberry sauce every day of the year for the
no.
next? No?
No.
Can't do it?
Sorry. I'm good.
She's gone.
No, thank you.
Are they going to get married?
No, I doubt it. She doesn't even live here.
What
she moved to Texas.
Oh, okay.
And then she came back to see the dog that my brother has.
This sounds really messed up.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh, we're going to get into some more of this a little bit later on. 720 WGN. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. We're talking about how much we hate Esmeralda's brother's girlfriend. Just to get really, we really want to prime the pump here.
Right?
For a really hellacious Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah.
If she comes to Thanksgiving at your parents' place. I can't get over this. I don't get how these people exist on this planet.
Right?
So she and your brother stayed at your parents' house.
Yeah.
She was rude and unappreciative. And not only that, they did what?
They cleaned. So the rooms, their bedrooms, they had furniture in them, you know, shelves of all desks and things. They took everything out except the bed.
They just were like, we don't want this stuff. We want our stuff.
Yeah. And it was like, you're not staying here that long. Why would you?
And they just put it in the basement?
I think so. But they cleaned everything out, you know, and, you know, drawers have stuff in them.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
And she's a picky eater.
Yeah, that I can't really deal with picky eaters.
Am I poking you too much to reveal too much information?
No, not at all.
I hope she's driving up from Texas right now and is listening.
She flew or whatever. I don't even.
But you don't even know she's going to be there.
I don't. I hope she's not.
I think everyone has that one relative that they hope is not going to be at Thanksgiving tonight. You got a. There's only four people showing up.
Well, she's not a relative.
Right. Well, she might be one day.
But, ugh, let's hope not.
Yeah, you're really not too happy about this.
Yeah, no, I don't like her.
This is really bothering you.
Yeah. No, I don't like her. I'm so glad she moved away to Texas.
But your brother didn't move with her.
No, he stayed here.
Okay.
And I feel like he's better off.
Well, I don't know. She's still in the picture. All right, we're asking what people are bringing to their Thanksgiving dinner, if they're excited, if they're not excited about it. Linda, you've got dessert you're bringing, right?
Yes, after 30 years of cooking, now the kids are taking over the holidays. And they say don't bring nothing, but a lot of people nowadays are pre-diabetic or, you know, diabetic. And I found a recipe to where I make with regular graham cracker crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I layer them in the bottom of a pan. If you want, just for a small group, one of these little square pans like you'd make brownies in, mm-hmm. you'd only use one box of each flavor of sugar-free pudding.
Okay.
And I make a bigger one, so I make sort of like a sheet cake.
Sheet cake? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. We call it sheet cake, but it's like a double one of those 9x9 pans.
I see.
But you do your graham cracker crumbs like you would do anything else.
Okay.
But being as they're all diabetic or pre-diabetic, I use the plain. And I mix it with the little bit of butter, and then I bake them for a few minutes. But what I use is instant sugar-free pudding.
Okay.
Yeah,
the bottom layer,
idea.
I put sliced bananas.
Oh, mm. There's got a little health in there too, Linda.
Then I put
look at that potassium.
Banana flavored pudding.
Okay.
And then if I can't get whole strawberries, sometimes I use blueberries or whatever.
So you get some fruit in there too. Some natural sugars. So Linda, I got to ask, that sounds like a great dessert. So you said that you used to cook for 30 years, now your kids do. Were you okay with that transition of power? Was it a smooth one, or does it bother you? Do you miss cooking?
In the beginning it did bother me, but now it's nice.
Right. Once you went through a couple of years, you're like, wait a second.
Right, because you don't have to worry about making sure the house is super clean or whatever, because you always go through it like it's got to be inspected with a white glove and that, and then getting everything and making sure everything's done. But to finish on this, if somebody wants, then I put plain Jell-O. Well, not Jell-O, but pudding.
Okay, okay.
And then I put the light Cool Whip.
Oh. The light, yeah.
Now,
Linda, this thing has so many layers. I thought we were done at the blueberries, and we just kept on going.
No, it's what they call like your banana split. You have several things. Your Cool Whip on top, and I put maraschino cherries on top of it. I used to put nuts, but then we found out one of the kids
is allergic to nuts.
Uh-huh.
But everybody eats it. And you don't have to tell them it's sugar-free.
No.
Some people go, ooh, sugar-free. You don't tell them that.
Right.
Let me ask about the light Cool Whip. Does the light Cool Whip really make a difference between light Cool Whip and regular Cool Whip?
It's
like half the calories or something.
All right.
In the less calories.
Just curious.
And with diabetes, they have to watch their carbs and fats and all this stuff.
Right.
So they can have it. You can get a regular whipped cream also if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can cover it in chocolate, too, if you want to. You can do all sorts of things. Linda, it's not...
But you know what? I heard you earlier when you were talking about people cooking 2 o'clock in the morning or putting the turkey on at 5.
Yeah.
My mom used to get up and do that because we had Thanksgiving dinner 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, and Linda,
that's not dinner.
That's not dinner. We're talking about the sun should set and then the plate should come out. That's my opinion.
And at 5 or 6 o'clock, everybody was in for a sandwich or something.
Oh, an actual bonus dinner?
And that was, just like Easter. They have, like, you know, early eating. That was a thing that growing up, that's what we did.
Yeah.
And that was pre microwave.
Right, when you couldn't just cook it up. You had to actually heat up it.
No, you had to heat everything up in pans and that. So it seems like moms were in the kitchen all day long.
Absolutely. We've been hearing from them all morning. And Linda, thank you so much for the call. And have a happy Thanksgiving, okay?
You too. You have a healthy one.
I'm not going to promise that, Linda. I'm sorry. You're not going to get me
some broccoli.
You're never going to get me to agree on that. I'm pre-diabetic, so I've still got a few more years.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Linda, very much. A happy Thanksgiving to her. And we appreciate all the phone calls we've had today from people that are cooking in the middle of the night. It's been a lot of fun. And we're going to talk with Dave in just a second. You're listening to 720 on WGN.